Vacation. So I'm sharing with you this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and if you've read through either one of the Corinthians letters, you can find that sometimes he's not particularly happy with them. He's trying to get them to think right, and this is another one of those occasions. He's making reference to Moses when Moses went up into the mountains to have a conversation with God and handed him the Ten Commandments, and his face was shining with God's glory, and the people were not allowed to see that, so he covered himself with a veil. So that's the reference that Paul is making here, and then how that veil is removed through Christ. So that's pretty much the sermon in a thumbnail, but please don't turn me off just yet. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror. May the Lord add His blessings upon this reading of His holy word. Amen. So, I titled my sermon, Who Was That Masked Man? It seemed appropriate. We're all wearing masks, and I have mine. This is not my fashion statement. It is actually one of my many masks that I wear. This is the one I chose today. I think it shows out well against my blue shirt. But who was that man? Who is that masked man? You know, I had some favorite heroes back when I was a kid, and Lone Ranger was one of those masked men, and they all wore masks. I'm trying to think off the top of my head here. Zorro. You remember Zorro? Wore that mask. And Batman. There are other heroes along the way. For those of you who are a little bit younger than me, the Dread Pirate Robert. I'm seeing a few, sure, wore the mask. As a matter of fact, I think he's the one that said in the movie, I won't quote this exactly right, but someone asked him, why is he wearing the mask? And he said, I think there'll be a fashion, everybody will be wearing them sometime in the future, and the future has arrived. As of today, other heroes that wear a mask. My sister's son, my nephew, is a doctor in the army. He's serving in Germany. He wears a mask every day, all day long, and he is one of my heroes. Nurses. When I grew up, I wanted to be a fireman. Firemen quite often wear a mask. There are so many of our heroes that do, and sometimes we have some bad guys that wear masks too. I used to love watching Westerns, and when they go in to rob a bank, they'd put their bandana up to hide their identity so no one knew who they were. And for many reasons, for many people, that was why they wore a mask, to hide their identity. The Lone Ranger was one of them. I think at the end of every show, if you've ever watched the Lone Ranger shows, someone would always ask the question, who was that masked man? And I believe they might have said the same thing about Zorro. It was to hide their identity. But as I said, that this passage, Paul's referring to the veil that covers the glory of God and the difference that was made through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To tear that veil in half, to remove it. So what I'm proposing today is this, that through God's grace and love, we can see His glory reflected in ourselves and ultimately in others. So number one, mirror image. I got to tell you folks, when I get up in the morning and I walk into that bathroom and I look in the mirror, I'm not sure that's the glory of God I'm seeing. And it's been a long time since I've had a haircut. I think since February, and it's getting pretty long. And you know, there are times I get up in the morning and this side of my hair is trying to reach over and say hello to this side of my hair. And it's pretty scary. And I have a hard time believing I'm looking at the glory of God when I get up in the morning. And I'm sure there's some people at ASP trip every year who actually slept in the same room I slept when I got up in the morning and walked down to the bathroom. They looked at me and thought, that doesn't look like the glory of God either. So it's really hard to stand there in that mirror. And we do take time in the morning to cover that, whether it's with a mask to protect ourselves from the virus, but sometimes we do things to cover or to make ourselves look better, whether that's makeup, we brush our teeth, I spend probably 15 minutes to trying to get this hair to stay in one place in the morning. Maybe we take care of our eyebrows or do our eyelashes or put on the lipstick or powders or whatever and colognes to make ourselves look presentable and better. What I see in the mirror, I have to look beyond to see the real beauty that God has created me to be. That takes a special set of lens sometimes, especially on some mornings. To look into that mirror and look beyond into the person, the beautiful person that God created me to be, that God created you to be as well. In my family, we have a genetic defect that is passed through every other generation through the women, but it can affect both men and women in our family. And it's an eye situation, and don't ask me the name of it, I can't tell you, but those who are affected by this genetic defect are nearly blind. As a matter of fact, several of my family members have gone blind. And my father had the eye defect, and as a little boy, nobody really understood or knew that this was something he had. His parents didn't know until he got into school, and he could never see what was on the blackboard that the teacher was writing. Matter of fact, he couldn't see much beyond this far in front of his face. He could never see a baseball being pitched when they were playing in the playground, and when there was a scuffle, he never saw where that fist was coming from, and it usually landed on his nose. And then they finally figured out that this young man could not see. And for years, he wore glasses that were very, very, very thick. I tell you this because when I was a little boy, about 4 years old, my father got his first pair of contact lens. We went up to Champaign, Illinois. We lived in deep southern Illinois. We drove up to Champaign, the whole family. He got his contacts, and of course, he wasn't allowed to drive. My mom drove us all back home, and when we arrived at home, it was dark outside, and I still remember this as if it was yesterday. Walking on the sidewalk in the dark, my father stopped, and he stared up at the sky for the longest time, and tears were rolling down his cheeks. And all he said was, "Look at all the stars." He had never seen them before in his life. He'd never been able to look beyond this far in front of him. And now he could see beyond into the beauty that is the heavens. He was able to look at the world differently. He was able to look through a new set of lenses and see the beauty that God created. To look in that mirror image and realize that what we see is what God created, and what God created is absolutely beautiful. And that's not always easy to do. Number two, once we learn to look through this new set of lenses without the veil in front of us, that the mask has now been moved, we see the world, we see ourselves differently, but we also see the world differently. We can see beyond. When I was talking to the youth in a Sunday school class a few weeks ago, and I have no idea how this comes up. I try not to explain my mind and how it works sometimes, but whatever we were talking about reminded me of a story about my daughter when she was about 4 years old or so. And I'm sure those of you who had kids, when you went to the grocery store, they wanted to write in the grocery cart. Some of them always want to write on the front end, which you're not supposed to do because they can get seriously hurt. So you always fold that one section back and put them in the grocery cart. Well, she hated that. And she wanted to ride in a grocery cart, but she didn't want to sit in that seat. And she would cry, but that was the only way I could do it, is either hold her in my arms and try to push a cart and fill it up, or put her in the seat and try to coax her not to cry. So I would push her down the aisle of the stores. We'd go to what used to be Sentry, which is now WAC up here on Port Washington. And occasionally we go over to what I believe used to be Roundy's, which is now Trek over on Lake Drive. And I'd push her down the aisle. She would always be reaching around trying to grab things off the cart. She didn't know what they were. They were just pretty. And she would put them in the cart as we shopped. And then I would try to put them back. But she was always unhappy, as I said, about riding in that back end of that cart. And one day, I had walked away from the cart, and she was quiet, and I picked up what I needed. And as I came back, instead of taking the time to go around behind the cart and push like you're supposed to, I just grabbed the cart from the front and pushed it. And she started giggling and laughing. Made her happy. And I thought, wonder why all of a sudden she seems to like this. You know why? I found out, she told me. She said, "I can see, Daddy. When I pushed the cart from behind, all she could see was this little area on the front of my shirt and things whizzing by her on the side. But when I pushed from the front, she could see where we were going." Removing the veil that is in front of us, having Christ tear that veil in part and remove it, opens ourselves not only to the glory of God revealed in ourselves, but we see beyond with this new lens. The same lens that was given to us through the resurrection of Christ. I call that the Easter lens. We see the world as a new beginning, a new beautiful place. So, where do we start? How do we start? Well, we start, as always, with each day. We get up, we walk into that bathroom, and we look into the mirrors at ourselves. It starts with ourselves. Gandhi said, "If you want to change the world, start with yourself." And if you're like me, there are mornings when that seems like you got to get up and move a mountain. But with enough faith and with God's love and grace, you can move that mountain. You can see the glory revealed, God's glory revealed in you and in others. A very good friend that also wrote some beautiful words along the same line, has struggled with what was going on in the world. We are struggling with what's going on in the world right now. And it's not just the pandemic and the virus. It's things that we've lost a portion of our lives over the last several months. We are also concerned about racial equality. We're concerned about family and friends, loved ones. We're concerned about where our future is going and what it will look like when we enter the fall. We are fighting so many different battles. And sometimes we try to do it alone. Sometimes we try to make everything right by following the letter of the law. But sometimes we need to start back at the beginning with God's love and grace, looking in that mirror. It starts with each of us down on our knees. It starts with me. So Lee wrote this song. His words are beautiful and so meaningful, and I would love to share this with you. Called Peace with Justice. Too many times I've gone alone, trying to make the world better. I've done all the right things I thought I should do. I followed the law to the letter. Then I stood in amazement, all hurt and confused, as the world kept on falling apart. Lord, let me know there'll be no peace on earth till your peace dwells in my own heart. Peace with justice, oh Lord, let it start with me down on my knees. Peace with justice, fill my soul with the joy of your peace, and let it roll like a river through me. Help me stop spinning my wheels long enough to listen for you in the silence. Give me the courage to stand up and face injustice wherever I find it. When I hear the cries of the poor and oppressed, and when I respond in your name, may my compassion spring out of your love. May they be one and the same. Peace with justice, oh Lord, let it start with me down on my knees. Peace with justice, fill my soul with the joy of your peace. Let it flow like a river through me. Help me to know that my love's not complete until I have loved the oppressor. Use me to touch his heart till he knows we're all brothers and sisters together. Then let us together stand firm in our faith till all of your people are free. Let us rejoice that your kingdom has come, and forevermore let there be peace with justice. Oh Lord, let it start with me down on my knees. Peace with justice, fill my soul with the joy of your peace. Let it flow like a river through me. Fill my soul with the joy of your peace, and let it flow like a river through me. Amen. Amen.